Amen. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful. Take it to the Lord in prayer. First, giving all praises to God, to Dr. Brian, to Miles and his family, to deacons, officers, and to the HT concert choir this morning. Amen. Amen. They have truly blessed our hearts on this first Sunday in November, and we are grateful that they have been a blessing. As they celebrate their sesquicentennial, we celebrate our sesquicentennial. And I think, you know, a lot of time when those trees grow so close together, those branches start intertwining. And HT and Ebenezer's, our branches, have been intertwining. And so we are truly grateful this morning for them being able to share with us. We do want to apologize to Sister Neal. She did have an arrangement for this morning, but we believe they were mixed in with some arrangements from yesterday. So we do want to apologize to her and her family for that mix-up. But they were delivered, and I think they got mixed in. We also want to thank everyone that took part in the Dr. Erdy funeral on yesterday. We thank you for all the support and all of the work that went in it. We thank God for Sister Davis. She did a Herculean job. She did a superwoman job. Amen. On the behalf of Ebenezer, being both amendable and flexible. And so we are grateful to her. And we're definitely grateful for last Sunday. Amen. Amen. I've never been to a musicale that featured the handbell choir, but I loved it. I loved it. I love it. I love it. I loved it. It was, all the other music was great. It was excellent. But that handbell choir was the bomb. And I say that without bias. I don't say that because my wife is on the handbell choir. But we truly enjoyed last Sunday and sharing with our music ministry. If you would, there is a word from the Lord, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, Paul epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11. And we would like to begin reading at verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning at verse 27, by the inspiration of God and by the pen of Paul, these words are recorded. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. We read into your hearing 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. This morning, we would like to use as a subject, fix your face. Fix your face. Perhaps some of you have heard that before. maybe not in nicer terms. Maybe if you were like me, you had done something that found the displeasure of a loved one that was responsible for me. And I didn't like the answer, and I showed it in my face. And they individual turned to me and simply said, "Fix your face." I didn't know what it mean when they said it. I didn't like it when I first heard it. But as time would have it, I found myself having to say it myself. We was in a grocery store and my daughter asked for something and I said no offhand. I didn't consider it. It wasn't on the list. I didn't plan on giving her no explanation. And I said no and walked a few steps up and then I turned around and her face needed fixing. And so I told her to fix your face. When we come to the Lord's table here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, examine, let a man examine himself. That's a way of saying, fix your face. The church at Corinth needed to fix their face because they were having all sorts of trouble and problems, and it was showing up in the communion. The church at Corinth was the most American church in the scripture in that they were greatly gifted, but deeply divided. The church had all the gifts, all the spiritual gifts one would want and would desire, but yet they were divided on any particular issue. In this text, Paul says, if any man drinks or eats, that or is kind of tricky because the church at Corinth was so petty and knew that they were so deep in sin that they didn't want to repent, didn't want to change from their wicked ways. They wanted to continue in their sins. They would take just one of the elements. They would just take the bread, but not the wine. And that way they could say, I'm not guilty of one. They knew that they were guilty of them both, but they would take one over the other. So then you got some Corinthians that are wine drinkers, and then you got some Corinthians that are bread eaters, and then you got some Corinthians that are both. It's hard to do church when you got people divided over the communion. And so Paul comes and he writes in this chapter 11 of Corinth, trying to address those issues that the church at Corinth faced. They were divided deeply. And so as we come to the table of the Lord, let me remind you to fix your face. The church, they had this unity. And so Paul wanted to give them two adjustments they needed to make. The first adjustment that they needed to make was to their actions. Their actions were divisive. Their actions were driving them away from one another rather than driving them toward one another. In Corinth, people were being saved from different levels of society. It was the rich and the middle class and the poor. They were all being saved and coming to the church. But yet when they came to the church, they didn't leave their status at the door like we ought to leave our status at the door. And when we enter this place, we just brothers and sisters. There's no big I's and little U's in this place. There's no great you and no little me in this place. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. But the church at Corinth didn't see it that way. They want the the owners or the rich wanted to be rich in church, and they wanted to keep the poor poor in church. And even during communion, between the time of Jesus establishing communion in the 13th chapter of John and the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, they have turned communion into a mess. When Jesus first started communion, it was part of the Passover meal. We remember. He just set up in the midst of the Passover meal. So the Jewish Christians continued with the meal and the communion with it. So it's always a major meal. Think of it this way. Every time they had potluck supper, they would bring in bread and wine with it. So it could be on Wednesday after Bible study. It could be on Saturday. It could be on Thursday after choir rehearsal. Whenever they ate together, at the end, they'll break bread and share wine. But at this point, they were using this as a way to keep people down. The rich would get there early, eat all the big meals. The middle class would get there later. They eat up all the sandwiches. And then the poor get there and ain't number crumbs. And so Paul literally, theologically separates the communion from what was called a agape feast. It was a love, it was a potluck. They just called it a fancy name. And he separates the two. And now he's saying, when we come together, you can't be divided between the bread and the wine. You can't be guilty of one and not of the other. It's all or none. You're either guilty of them both, or you're guilty of them none. And so Paul says, examine yourself. You got to examine your own self to determine whether you are worthy of the elements. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you right now, if you come back with a worthy verdict, then you're wrong. Something wrong. You don't win a ride. Go back and examine yourself again. Come and talk to me if you don't know. If you think you perfect, if you think there's no error in your life, there's no misstep in your life, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all stand in the need of prayer. We all need the grace and mercy of God. That's why we come to the table. We come not because we are worthy. We come so that we may find ourselves worthy just one more time. I'll be back next month trying to be worthy. They had to adjust their actions so that they could be more unified. Things that you do, how you treat one another, they had to adjust. But secondly, they had to adjust their attitude. See, the Corinthians thought, like so many Americans, that they had a right to stuff. They just make up a list of rights, you know. I have a right to Coca-Cola while you selling Pepsi. I was at a restaurant and I ordered Sprite and they said, we don't have Sprite, we have Sierra Mist. I was like, I can't even taste the difference, but I don't even know the difference between Sierra Mist, Sprite. I wanted the clear soda. And I had a 15-minute conversation with the waitress over the difference between Sierra Mist and Sprite. They felt like they had a right to everything. They had a right even to the table of the Lord. So they came to the table with an arrogance. They came to the table with a pridefulness. They came to the table with the judgment of others. And isn't that just like America? We are really good at judging others where we can't even judge ourselves. That's why Paul says, examine yourself. Then he says, after he says, let a man examine himself, he said, then let him eat and let him drink. See, the table is not meant to cause us not to come to the table. When we come to the table, we are to come to the table after self-examining ourselves and realize that we need God. It's not my neighbor, it's not my mother, it's not my father, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to remind us of the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. And that's why Paul put the emphasis in verse 29. He says, we're supposed to keep mindful of the body and blood of the Lord. See, this ain't the time for you and I to show out with one another. The communion, the Lord's Supper, is not for perfect people. It is for people who need atonement. People who recognize their need for the forgiveness of the Lord. And so when you come to this table, adjust your attitude. Don't come thinking that you have earned the right. Don't come thinking that you are good enough. Don't come thinking that you are better than somebody else and so therefore you should and they shouldn't. No, examine yourself. And as my mama would say, fix your face. We stand in the need of God's atonement today as much as the children of Corinth did in their day. We need God to help us through this political season. We need God to help us through the adjustments of life. We need God to help us in our relationships, in our plans. We need God in every aspect of our lives. And communion is simply a reminder. It is to remind us of what Christ did for us. Not that we deserved it, not that we earned it. He did it all for us. And so when we come to the table, we have to make two adjustments. We have to adjust our actions, have actions that draw people closer and not drive people away. Secondly, we got to adjust our attitude and have an attitude of humility as opposed to pride. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a last and evil day. And so I come this morning to simply to remind you from the words of Paul, examine yourself, check yourself, fix your face when you come to the Lord's table. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we're going to extend the invitation. There may be someone present who is not on the Lord's side. We invite you to come now. You can come by letter. We're going to ask that the deacons come and the greeters and ushers come. We want you to know that you can come. ours to extend. It was yours to accept or reject. May God bless you. At this time, we ask that you would make yourselves ready for the administration of the Holy Communion.